Welcome to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. You're listening to Pastor Robert's Beyond Blessed series. It's been full of amazing revelation regarding the principle of stewardship. I'm your host, Janae, and I'm here with my co-host, Patrick.
Well, hello, everybody. I just got to say, this series is incredible. You know, in every message, Pastor Robert presents new biblical insight that it just blows me away.
You know, Patrick, I've thought the same thing. Every message has nuggets of truth that I've never thought about or that challenge me.
Absolutely.
And he always has words of encouragement and hope.
You know, and this message is no different. Pastor Robert is going to share some things about how tithing is not just biblical, but it's also a blessing. So let's jump right in.
Here's how I came up with the title for today's message. It's something that I used to say a lot when I was in school. The title is, What Test? Now, I don't know if this ever happened to you. I might even have a little show of hands here, but you know, did you ever walk into class, everybody had their books out, and they were feverishly studying, and they said to you, Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the test? And you said, yeah, I didn't do well in school. But I'm proud of myself because I graduated in the top 10% of the lower one-third of our graduating class. So anyway, so did you know that there's a test in the Bible that you take every time you get paid? That's what we're going to talk about. Because if we're going to live a life beyond blessed, we're going to have to understand that there are financial tests that God set up in the Bible. And that's what we're going to talk about. So every time you get paid, I want to say that again. So here, we'll take a little poll. Right here. How many of you get paid once a month? Can I see your hand? Not very many people anymore, but some do. How many of you get paid, this is normal, twice a month? So, all right, yeah, that's the majority. How many once a week? Okay, we have a few of those. How many of you never get paid? So, I'm sorry. That's the same with my wife. Nobody ever pays her. All right, so, okay. But every time you get paid, and many Christians don't know this, you take a test. And the test is, whom are you going to thank for your paycheck? And the way you pass that test is where the first 10% goes. Where does it go? Now, I understand they take things out of our check, you know, but that's not under our control. It's when it comes into our account. What do we do with the first 10%? So let me read you some scripture. Malachi chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, For I am the Lord, I do not change. This is called the immutability of God doctrinally. But I want you to think about this because he's about to talk about tithing. But he begins with this statement about himself, about his character. I am the Lord, I do not change. It's because here's what gets me. So many times we say, well, this is in the Old Testament. But we have God right now saying, I don't change though. This is a principle with me. I don't change. I am the Lord, I do not change. It's very important to always start at verse 6 when you're talking about this, not just verse 8, which verse 8 is where we talk about tithing. I am the Lord, I do not change. Then I like this statement. It's a little humorous to me. Since I don't change, he says, therefore you are not consumed. In other words, I'm good. That's why I haven't killed you yet. Because I don't change. Then he says, yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. And let me tell you what an ordinance is, the exact definition. An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. That's what an ordinance is. In other words, we see city ordinances. What they're saying is it would be ordinary for you to park here. It would not be ordinary for you to park here. It's an ordinance of that city. So when he says you've gone away from my ordinary principles, tithing is not an extraordinary principle. It's an ordinary principle. And I just sometimes I get overwhelmed with the burden of thinking of this. This is God talking. Amen. And this is a God who can't change. I can't even believe that people argue about this. This is a God who can't change. Saying, I am the Lord, I don't change. And yet you're not doing what's ordinary for my people to do. It's ordinary for my people to return the first 10% to me. This is just ordinary. This is not extraordinary if you tithe. This is ordinary, okay? So he says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? So the people are asking, how do we return to you? Watch what God says. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Now, this wasn't written by a preacher. This is God talking. He's talking about the tithe, and he uses the word rob. By the way, you ought to look at sometimes what the difference is between burglary and theft and robbing someone. Robbing someone means you actually use a weapon. And God uses this word, you're robbing me. You're being violent about taking what doesn't belong to you. Yet you have robbed me. Yet you say, in what way have we robbed you? Now watch God's offering. Is the answer. In tithes and offerings. Then he says, you are cursed with a curse. Now he's not saying, I am cursing you with a curse. He's saying, you're under a curse. I just want you to know, when you don't obey my ordinary principles, you're putting yourself under a curse. I don't want you to be under a curse, but you are. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. We're going to see in a moment the storehouse represents the church. And watch this, that there may be food in my house. Remember, when Jesus goes to the temple, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So he called the church, the temple, where they went to worship. God called that my house. And he says, bring the tithe into my house. Bring it into my house, that there may be food in my house. And then he says this, and try, and this word means to prove or test. Test me now in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. And we're talking about beyond blessed. It all starts right here. For you will be a delightful land.
You're listening to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. We're currently in the Beyond Blessed series, and you can get a copy of this series at PastorRobert.com or by calling 833-933-WORD.
You know, Janae, it's so true what Pastor Robert said about us taking a test every time we get paid. It's easy to think, you know, I worked hard for this money. It's mine. I deserve to spend it however I choose. But therein lies the test.
Yeah.
That money isn't ours, it's God's. And we give the tithe back to God for letting us steward his money.
You know, Pastor Robert even went as far as to prove that not tithing is robbing God and putting ourselves under a curse.
Wow.
But when we do tithe, God says he will open up the heavens and pour out such a blessing we won't have enough room for it. That's a test that I want to pass.
Absolutely, me too. Well, let's continue on with Pastor Robert now.
Now, I have to tell you that as a pastor, my desire is to help people. And so I had a little argument with the Lord about this passage because I said to the Lord, Lord, this is in Malachi 3. Then there's Malachi 4, which is only 6 verses. And then there's Matthew 1. Couldn't you have just waited just a little bit to put this scripture in Matthew? Because the number one complaint I hear is people say, well, that's in the Old Testament. And it only missed by like 15 or 16 verses. So I'm like, couldn't you wait just a little, you know? Here's what I felt like the Lord impressed on me. He said, I put it right where I wanted it. I put it right where I wanted it. He said, because tithing is a test. God is testing your heart. Think about this. The very fact, this is so strong, and I'm not trying to be mean, but listen, the very fact that you would argue with God who gave his son for you about giving him 10%. He gave his son, and you want to argue about 10%. That ought to tell you where that motivation's coming from. So let me tell you a few things about tithing, all right? Number one, tithing is a test. The word actually means a tenth. And the number 10 in the Bible represents testing. So I'm going to give you some illustrations. I'm going to ask you to answer out loud. And you're going to catch on because there's going to be a pattern. It'll be easy to answer these questions, okay? So here we go. Number one, how many plagues were there in Egypt? 10. Now, I could have said, how many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? See what I'm saying? And it would have been 10. But we're familiar with the 10 plagues. So I phrase it away. But how many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? 10, right? Okay. So answer this one out loud. How many commandments are there? 10. God's testing our hearts. Okay, now this one you might not know, but there's a pattern. Okay, all right. So, and this is in Numbers. You can read this. God says, I did this to you. How many times did God test Israel while they were in the wilderness? 10. That's right. How many times were Jacob's wages changed?
10.
How many days was Daniel tested?
10.
How many virgins in Matthew 25? Now, I'm going to give you a hint. There were 5 foolish and 5 wise. So how many virgins were tested in Matthew 25?
10.
All right, how many days of testing are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10?
10.
How many disciples were there? No, there were 12. I was just testing. I was just testing. Okay. But that's the point. That's what tithing is. Tithing is a test. And I really do believe, yes, it's in the Old Testament. I understand that. But it's in the New Testament too. But it is shocking to me that we use that argument that, well, that's Old Testament. Because there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that we still believe. I mean, the Old Testament said don't commit adultery. Are you telling me now because you're a Christian you can commit adultery? It's just crazy. The Old Testament said, oh, okay, I'll give you an example. I was just thinking about this. Thomas is a good friend, works with me. Give me your wallet. Give me your wallet. Okay. Say, I'm just going to keep Thomas's wallet. And the reason I'm going to keep Thomas's wallet is because thou shalt not steal is part of the law. Part of the old covenant, part of the old, right? And I'm a Christian. I'm not under the law. That means I can steal, right? It's crazy, isn't it? Okay, so I'm not going to keep your wallet. There's not even any money in it. So I was going to keep your, I was going to keep his wallet. And you took your money out? Now that tells you something. I've been working with a guy 20 years. I say, I want to do an illustration, so give me your wallet. And he takes his money. Okay, all right. But you can't say because it was under the law and it was bad under the law that it's good now. If it was wrong under the law, it's still wrong. Everyone agree? Stealing is still wrong. Okay. So if it was right under the law, it's still right. We don't get saved by the law, but it's a principle. It's an ordinary principle with God. So that's number one. Number two, tithing is biblical. So many people don't know it's really biblical. They actually know just maybe that scripture in Malachi, will a man rob God? But let me read you some scripture. We're going to have to go through a few so you can see it's biblical. Genesis 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, which is either a type of Jesus or Jesus himself. Most theologians believe it's Jesus himself because Hebrews tells us he has no mother or father. He's without beginning and end, not beginning of life, not end of life. And he's called the King of Satan, the peace and the King of righteousness. So we know who that is. Okay. But watch this. Then Melchizedek, the King of Salem means peace. Jerusalem means city of peace. Okay. Then the king of Salem brought out bread and wine. Think about the Last Supper, even. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, that's Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, that's Abraham, gave him, that's Melchizedek, who's Jesus, a tithe of all. But here's what you need to know, a lot of people don't know. This is 500 years before the law. And Abraham was our spiritual father. That's what Galatians tells us. When we become children of faith, we're also children of Abraham. We're grafted into the nation of Israel. So our spiritual earthly father, patriarch in the faith, tithed 500 years before it was ever written in the law. Okay, then you go to Jacob, who's his grandson, in Genesis 28, and he's having an encounter with God, and he says in verse 22, and this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house. Remember we talked about the tithe going to God's house. And this is this. Listen to what he says. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Same word for tithe, by the way, a tenth. This is 400 years before the law. He's already tithing as well, before the law's ever written. Why? It's an ordinary principle. It's just a principle. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It belongs to God. It's set aside to the Lord. This next phrase says, it is holy, which means set aside to the Lord. All through Scripture. Okay, so let me ask you this. If Jesus himself, because some of these we read some scriptures, Old Testament, we're about to go to New Testament. If Jesus himself said, you ought to tithe, would you tithe? Think about that. If the one who saved you, and I was saved in a motel room out of a pretty bad lifestyle. If Jesus himself said, you ought to tithe, and he said it in the New Testament, then would you tithe? Now, here's the sad thing. Many of us have to think about that. And that's crazy. Jesus himself in the New Testament? So let me read you the verse. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, which are spices that they put on their food. You even tithe on your salt and pepper is what he's saying. Okay. You pay tithe of the spices you put on your food, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Okay, so you tithe on everything, but you neglect these three things. But then listen to what Jesus says. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So Jesus said, you tithe, but you neglect justice, mercy, and faith. He didn't say, but now you don't need to do that anymore because it's now the New Testament. Now you need to do this. He said, you still ought to do this. Let me say that again because some of you ought to be crying right now. No, I'm kidding. You, let this impact you. This is Jesus. These words are in red. This is in the New Testament. Jesus said, you ought to do that. You ought to tithe. But don't leave the other undone. One other verse about Jesus in the New Testament. In Hebrews 7, it says, verse 8, here mortal men receive tithes. But there he, and when you look in your Bible, it's a capital H. It's referring to Jesus. The whole context of Jesus. But there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Okay, that's enough for me too. That means, yes, when I tithe, mortal men collect it, they manage it, they steward it. I want to go to a church where they're going to steward it well, yes. But Jesus is actually receiving my tithe. He's receiving it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. If you've missed any of this Beyond Blessed series, you can find it on our podcast at PastorRobert.com.
You know, something Pastor Robert said in the beginning of this section really hit me. He said, God gave his son for us, and we want to turn around and argue about 10%. I mean, man, that's a wake-up call.
Man, I totally agree. And for anyone who still wants to argue about 10%, I love how Pastor Robert goes into the biblical origins of it. He brings such awesome depth to the conversation, noting that Abraham and Jacob were tithing hundreds of years before the law, and showing it's really not a law, it's holy.
I love that. You know, tithing is not an Old Testament or a New Testament thing. That's going to shake up some people for sure. This test we take with every paycheck is age old, and it cannot be refuted.
Yes. Well, let's tune in once more as Pastor Robert shares one last point about tithing.
Okay, and here's point number three. Tithing is a blessing. Now, we don't have time to read the scripture. It's in 2 Chronicles 31. What happens is the king is reading along, and it's Hezekiah, and he reads about tithing in scripture. And they're in a drought, and they're in a time of famine. And he realizes we're putting ourselves under a curse. So he sends out a decree for everyone to tithe. And then he goes and checks with the priest, and there are heaps of crops that have been brought in. There's an abundance. And he does what any good leader would do. He gets concerned about the people. He said, the people have given this much. So he says, are the people okay? Are they okay? And the priest said, when they started to bring the tithe in, God began to bless. And here's what the priest said. You're just looking at the 10%. You ought to see the 90%. So it's a blessing. So, and let me give you one more illustration, then we're finished. So, hey, you guys stand up. I met you before the show. Michael, Donnie, Randy, right? Okay. So I'm going to give you an illustration. Let's say that I'm going to go away and for a while, but I want to send some funds back to my wife. Now, I've taken care of the house and the utilities and all. But I just want to send her some extra funds, but I'm actually going to channel those resources through you. So, Michael and Donnie, Randy, I'm going to give each of you $10,000 a month. This is only an example. Randy got real excited. Just like, wow, I just came this taping and look, okay, this is just an example, okay. All right, so I'm going to give each of you $10,000 a month, but you have to give my wife $1,000 of it. That's all. You can keep 90% and do anything you want with it. Now, I want everyone to get ahead of me on this illustration, okay? So I'm talking to my wife every day, how's things going? And then I start thinking about the extra income I'm sending her. So I say, hey, how's Michael doing? And she says, well, Michael sends $1,000 every month. Matter of fact, he gets here like January 1st, February 1st, March 1st. He's just faithful. It's clockwork. He sends $1,000 a month. I said, it's great. I said, well, how's Donnie doing? She says, well, Donnie's sending $2,000 a month. And I said, well, I don't even understand that. What do you mean $2,000 a month? I told him to send $1,000. She said, I know, but he sends $2,000 a month. I said, that's great. I said, well, what about Randy? She says, well, we need to talk about Randy. I'm sorry. There's always got to be a punchline. One person has to, okay. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, the first month, Randy sent $700. The second month, $400. And last month, he didn't send anything. Now, okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you very much for helping me. But I want you to think about this, okay? Please think. Please, please, please just think about this. This is my wife. I'm giving them the money. It's coming from me. I told them they can keep 90% of it. I just asked for 10% for my wife. Is the church the bride of Christ? Okay. So I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the money that I'm giving Randy, and I'm not going to give it to him anymore. because I can't trust him. And I'm going to give some of it to Michael and some of it to Donnie. I'm probably going to give more to Donnie because for some reason, he really cares about my family. I think tithing is more personal to Jesus than what we think.
Wow. That last illustration really brought this principle of tithing into perspective. I think tithing is more personal to Jesus than we think. It really is about honoring God's gift that he's given us and taking care of his bride.
We just want you to take a moment to think about what Pastor Robert shared today and really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. To get a copy of any of the messages in this Beyond Blessed series, visit PastorRobert.com or call 833-933-WORD. Be sure to visit PastorRobert.com or call 833-933-WORD. You can also follow Pastor Robert on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. Next time, Pastor Robert is continuing on with this Beyond Blessed series and going to be sharing about the principle of first. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed week.